Hello, and welcome to our Network Security School podcast. I'm Kara Gattin. In this podcast, Dave Piscitello is going to discuss the future of embedded network security, what to expect in the next 12 to 18 months, and how IT professionals specializing in networking or security should prepare themselves and their networks. The mic is all yours, Dave.
Thank you. What does the future hold for embedded security? As I discussed in my recent TechTarget webcast, embedded or pervasive security is an evolutionary process. Security features have gradually been incorporated into network elements that traditionally performed routing and switching functions. Similarly, networking features have been incorporated into security systems. Over time, this evolution has had profound effects in the roles of both networking and security systems, and the distinction between networking and security products grows fainter each year. How long can this trend continue? Perhaps indefinitely. What can we expect in the next 12 to 18 months? The clever answer might be more of the same, but this isn't particularly helpful. A better answer is actually and simply more. I describe embedded security as defense in depth on steroids. Defense in depth is a security strategy that relies on layers of security. A helpful analogy for a defense in depth model is an onion. Peel one layer of an onion and you find more layers of onion. In a defense in depth network, an attacker who breaches one layer of security, in theory, encounters more layers of security. In an embedded security model, we take more to another level. There are more layers of security and more networking functionality, and these include port-based network access controls to prevent endpoint devices from connecting to a network until the endpoint is authenticated, dynamic keying and VLAN assignment using 802.1x accept responses, network access control and endpoint protection, compartmentalization strategies where internet-facing firewalls and intrusion prevention systems enforce coarse security policies at the perimeter, and internal or compartmentalizing firewalls segment trusted networks and apply finer-grained authorization policies, as well as application, media, and host-specific countermeasures. Embedded security also involves the provision of containment and exit controls to prevent information leaks and malware propagation, threat identification, isolation, and intervention, traffic content and flow analysis to enforce acceptable use, discourage abuse, and assure that WAN bandwidth is available for business-critical applications, round out the embedded security model. Not only are there more layers, but the layers are more tightly integrated and coordinated as well. More defenses are deployed to detect and thwart attackers. Monitoring of network and security events is pervasive, and event analysis and correlation provide administrators more opportunities to be proactive and in situations where they must react, to react quickly and so reduce the windows of opportunity that attackers typically seek to exploit. Embedded security is an exciting proposition, but in truth, it is still in its infancy. Let's look at some examples of how it will evolve in the next 6 to 12 months. Embedded security embraces many network and security services, so I'll limit my speculation to two key areas: network access controls and application and user monitoring, as these relate to bandwidth management and security. Let's first consider network access controls, the mechanisms that protect the network from intrusions by denying an endpoint access to a network until the device demonstrates compliance to a security policy. By endpoint, I mean a PC, a laptop, a handheld device, even a cell phone. The compliance checking that Cisco NAC, Microsoft NAP, and other current network admission and access control solutions perform today are very basic. Over the next 6 to 12 months, network access control solutions will quickly evolve to allow administrators to check not only for the presence and correct configuration of anti-malware software, but also to check that no unauthorized services are operating on the endpoint, that the local security policy on that endpoint has not been altered, that no sensitive information has been copied to the endpoint, that expected access controls are enforced on sensitive files and directories on the endpoint, and that other critical files have not been tampered with. Network access control solutions will also evolve to accommodate heterogeneity. As organizations seek to enforce a broader set of policies, they are unlikely, at least initially, to find a single policy server that satisfies all policy needs. Or they may actively seek a best-of-breed policy server environment. In large organizations, the network access control policy that may be served today from a single appliance may thus evolve to a farm of policy server appliances supervised by a policy controller. Next, let's consider how application and user monitoring may improve over the next 6 to 12 months. Today, most bandwidth management is IP address and IP network based. Flows between IP addresses are analyzed, conclusions are made regarding consumption and utilization, and policies are enforced on aggregate traffic behavior. This is not sufficient. Today, we know the addresses where traffic is originating, we know the destinations, and often we know the traffic is flowing out of port 80 HTTP, because that's where all our traffic is flowing out of. This isn't particularly insightful. The kinds of questions we really want to answer include the following. What user can we associate this traffic with? What IP is he using at this moment on my campus? Which of the hundreds of applications that overload port 80 HTTP is he using? Is this an authorized or unauthorized application? Is the bandwidth this application consumes noteworthy? And should I take action to rate limit not only this user, but other users of this application in the future? Is this traffic suspicious or known to be malicious? And should I intervene or monitor more intently? I'm confident that we'll have products that provide application and user visibility of this kind in the very near future. Once we do have this kind of visibility, the next significant evolutionary steps will be to use it to control WAN utilization, to insulate business-critical applications from changes in bandwidth consumption as users add new and often unanticipated applications to the traffic mix, and to better predict needs for additional WAN capacity. This degree of visibility offers significant benefits to security administrators as well. Improving our ability to associate traffic flows to users will allow us to identify policy abuses, to determine whether security measures we intend to be enforced at user levels are performing as we intended, and to ferret out malware quicker than we can today. These are but two areas where the embedded security model may evolve in significant ways. There are certainly other areas to discuss, and I'll save those for another time.
Thanks, Dave, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. And thanks to our listeners for participating in this podcast. For more information on baking security into the network infrastructure, I recommend you partake in Dave's corresponding webcast and technical tip as a continuation of this lesson from our network security school.